Bibles tonight, make your way over to the book of Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans chapter 5. And we're going to look a little bit tonight on the subject of salvation according to the scriptures. Of course, there are many different opinions with regards to salvation. The opinion that we care about and that we want to know is God's opinion. But, you know, what does it matter? You ever hear someone say that to you? What does it matter if I'm saved? What's the difference? People don't understand is that everybody's familiar with the book of Genesis. They know the story of how God created man and woman. They'll even agree, and many people say, I believe that. They know the story how the devil came and deceived man and woman. They believe in Abraham. They believe in Isaac. They believe in Jacob. They believe a lot of the stories with regards to Moses and Egypt and this sort of thing. What people need to understand is that at the end of the book, there's a book called Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, the scriptures teach that whosoever name is not found written in the book of life will have his part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. So that's why it matters. See, to go through life and become famous and rich and successful in all these areas of life which you can become famous, rich, and successful in, and to miss the simplest thing of life and the free gift of God is to be a complete and utter failure. Regardless of how successful you are, or how much money, or how much of the world's acclaim that you manifest in other areas of life, if you miss life, if you miss the gift of God, that's the whole purpose of life. That's the whole meaning of life. You get to live here 60, 70, 80 years in riches, and you miss eternity. How foolish are you? How silly is that? Especially when the gift is free, and it was paid for by our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's why it matters. That's why salvation matters. And when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ are risen, and we which are alive are called up to meet the Lord in the air, as the scripture saying, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that's too late to talk to your children, talk to your friends, speak of salvation to your employees or fellow co-workers. People just don't get it. People don't understand the urgency of the times. That's why salvation is important. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 10, it says, "For if when we were enemies," that's what we were. We were born into the world, enemies. Guess who we were enemies with? God, right? But this is how great God is. "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his" what? His life. Okay? Now you just remember that next time you're speaking to someone about salvation. Because a lot of times, you know, we get to be born again, saved, redeemed, whatever title you want to put on it. That's okay with me, just as long as you have the seed of Christ in you, because God don't care about titles. He don't care about religion either. He cares that you got the Word of God inside. You got Jesus living inside of you. Sometimes we get Jesus, you know, we get a big head. And we forget where we were when God reached down to us. And sometimes we fail to have compassion when we look at that brother or that sister. And we're real quick to judge them sometimes, you know. You're a drinker, or you're bad, or you're this, or you're that, you're the other thing. No. We were enemies. We were the enemies of God. I don't even know. Who's that guy they're looking for and they can't find him? Said that he's responsible for 9/11. Bin Laden. You all were Bin Ladens. Don't lie. What you were. That's what an enemy is. He's an enemy of the United States, right? Sure. You all were Bin Ladens. Me too. And what did God do? For when we were enemies, when you were all Bin Ladens, Cratchit Bin Laden. That's what he said. Cratchit Bin Laden. That's how wonderful God was. Not only was she a Bin Laden, she was a Cratchit on top of that. But what did God do? For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by your own works? No. Who did God hang it all on? Who paid the price? Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? We were enemies. So, you know, when you go speaking to people, don't be so hard on them. Don't be so quick to judge them. Don't be so quick to jump on them. Because you got to remember where you were when God reached down to you. You were all little wearing little turbans. And God said, come here. Yeah, it's the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to show you something tonight that is so remarkable and so unbelievable that if you got one half of a brain cell in your head, you're just going to be flabbergasted. You're going to be so amazed. It's I don't have a word for the splendor of what God's going to show you here tonight because of the greatness of the beauty of the magnificence of God's word. You keep your ears open. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that do one thing. What's that? Believe. It's foolishness of preaching according to the world, according to the standards of the world, but according to God's word, it brings salvation to those that what? Believe. When somebody preaches the word, does it say he has to be a preacher? Nope. By the foolishness of preaching, by proclaiming the word of God, by proclaiming the gospel, the good news, to save them that believe, that believe. See, God knew we were all little Bin Ladens. And he knew in and of ourselves we couldn't muster up enough goodness in us to get by a candy bar, a 5-cent candy bar. So God laid on Jesus Christ everything that we could not accomplish. Jesus Christ accomplished all the hard part for us, and all we have to do was being left with what? Believe it. Just believe it. Because God knew that if man got himself involved, that man could find a way to screw up his own salvation. That's what God knew. It happened in the garden. And I want to tell you something about the garden. The garden was an ideal, perfect setting. You understand? There was no murder. There was no pornography. There was no hatred. There was no bitterness. It was perfect. It was perfect. You understand? Perfect. Now, if anybody should have succeeded in a perfectly godly world and environment, it should have been who? Adam and Eve. And they didn't succeed because of the adversary came in, because they had free will, because they made decisions. So us being in a less than perfect environment, can I say that? The world, right? You read their newspapers lately? You think that we're going to do any better? If anybody had a chance to do it, it would have been who? Adam and Eve, right? And you think we're going to do any better the way we are? Plus, we're born in trespasses and sin, the Word of God says, right? So God knew, these guys are hopeless. If I don't do it, it ain't getting done. They talked to Jesus, hey, Jesus, sorry, but you're the one. And he said, no problem, Father, I'll do it. Because I love them, and I know you love them. It's not a problem. Because Jesus Christ always did the will of who? Right. So Jesus did the hard part. All we have to do is what? Believe. Believe. Acts chapter 4. Do you believe what I'm reading you so far tonight? Are you listening to the scripture? Do you believe the scripture? Do you believe that we're reconciled to God by the death of his son? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the fullness of preaching saves those that believe the gospel? Yeah, amen. Acts 4, remarkable healing. It says in verse 10, be it known unto you all. Sounds like the southern text, you all. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the reason why this man's whole. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Verse 12, listen up. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What a mouthful, huh? Neither is there salvation in any other. You want to call me closed-minded, narrow-minded. Call God narrow-minded. It doesn't say you get to heaven by Buddha. It don't say you get there by Confucius. It don't say you get there by Muhammad. Or this angel or that angel. Or praying to this saint or that saint. Don't say you get there by P2D2, the Pope, right? It says what? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name was given to us in verse 10, Jesus Christ of what? Nazareth. Do you believe that? Do you believe that salvation is only available today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? That's what the word says. That's what it means. I believe the Bible. If it said Muhammad, I'd be glad to believe Muhammad. If it said Moses, I'd be glad to believe Moses. If it said Peter was the first pope and to believe on him, I'd be glad to believe that. I got no problem believing what the Bible says. But it don't say that. It goes as far to say there's nobody else. Nobody else. What's all this? There's all these roads lead to heaven kind of stuff they're teaching out there today then. There's all these ways to get to heaven. All these roads lead to heaven. Bible don't say that. Bible says you got to get on the Jesus road if you want to be on the road. That's the only road. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. You all together on this? Salvation. Being saved. Eternal life. Forever with the Lord. Oh, what a great day. Ephesians 2. Look at verse 8. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. Then it goes on for those hard heads, and it says, and that not of yourselves, it is the what? Gift of God. Got nothing to do with you. I told you that. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. You know what grace is? Grace is how God smiles down on you, whether you deserve it or not. It's his unmerited favor to your life. It's his divine favor on your life. For by grace are you saved through faith, through trusting in God. and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's a gift of God. And if somebody gives you a gift, it's a what? It's a gift. It's a gift. Can you earn a gift? You earn what? Wages, right? You earn wages. The wages of sin is what? That's what you earn for sin. You'll get paid. Don't worry, you get your check. What's my check for sin? Death. It's not wages, it's a gift. It's a gift. Someone gives you a gift, who's responsible for the gift? You are, right? You could throw it in the trash. You can re-gift it. You can't re-gift Holy Spirit, though. It's yours. Once you get it, you got it. You see, it's a gift. Well, you can lose it. Bull. Who told you that? Who lied to you, told you that you can lose it? What's your daddy's name? Your earthly father. What's his name? Richard. Were you a good boy all your life? Sometimes you be bad? Was Richard your daddy still? Is there anything you can do to change him from being your daddy? And you don't think God can do that? God stuck with us. God knew what he was doing, too. Richard didn't. Richard didn't expect Clayford to be doing this, that, and the other thing sometimes, huh? But God knew our entire life, and you know what he said? I'll still pick them guys. Now, that's either an extremely loving God or, right? He knew. He knew. Look at Titus. Well, verse 9 of Ephesians, while we're here, just in case. Not of works, lest any man should what? Can't work your way to heaven. Can't work your way for salvation. The work was already done and accomplished. Who did the work? Jesus. What do we have to do? Believe. That's what the scripture says. That's what it means. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus 3. Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but why did God save us? According to his mercy. That's how he did it. Romans chapter 10. To have this salvation available in your life, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, to receive this gift of God, of salvation, that Jesus Christ came to make available. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt, what? Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? That shall be saved. There it is. Romans gives us, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. What is it to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus? It's to say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And then it goes on and it says, and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead. See, anybody could say, Jesus is Lord. Go up to anybody, say, Jesus is Lord. They got Jesus is Lord. Do you believe God raised him from the dead? No, I don't believe that crap. No, don't work. Jesus is Lord, and you believe that God raised him from the dead. You believe in the resurrection. Then the word of God says, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10 goes on and says, for with the heart man works unto righteousness. No, he what? He believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Unto salvation. What is God's heart on this gift called salvation? Who is this gift available to in this day and in this time? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Does God pick some for heaven, some for hell? And then if you belong to a certain denomination, some for purgatory. What is God's opinion? What would God have done if God could have his will done on earth? 1 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 3, the scripture reads, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who," this God our Savior, "who," verse 4, "will have some men to be saved," will have religious men to be saved, will have only good men to be saved, good women, got to be women, no. What's it say? "Who will have all men," the word man here is an inclusive noun. It stands for women and men, not beagles. Maybe beagles, I don't know. "But who would have all people," is a way, a better translation, "to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." Salvation's great. And we got a lot of people that are saved out there. But that's not where the verse ends. Once God gets you saved, once you get saved, what's the Bible say? God wants you to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth. Salvation is just the beginning. It's not the end. Salvation is like a little baby born. The baby's whole life is ahead of them. You understand? That baby's born. It's born into the family which it was fathered. But now that baby's whole life is ahead of them. That baby, that child has to be taught about love, about life, about work, about, you understand? This is what happens when you get saved. You get born again, you get redeemed, sanctified, made holy. God wants you to be saved. He wants all men to be saved. And then, after you get saved, he wants you to come unto a knowledge of the truth. He wants you to come unto a knowledge of the truth. He wants you to learn the word of God. He wants you to learn the great truths in God's word. He wants you to learn how to read the word for yourself, how to understand the word for yourself. He wants you to learn how to operate the manifestations of the Spirit. He wants you to learn, come to the knowledge of the truth, what's available to you through Christ. That's what he wants. That's the second part. That's the hard part. Because salvation is what? It's free. It's a gift. Now, coming unto the knowledge of the truth, that takes some work. That's going to take some commitment on your part. That's going to take some decisions on your part. That's going to take some discipline on your part. You want to come unto the knowledge of the truth? How much of God do you want? God will give you as much of him as you are willing to give of yourself. God will outgive you, as a matter of fact. But you got to be willing to come to God on his terms. Romans 10 again, please. Two more scriptures. And you're saying to yourselves, I haven't heard this magnificent, earth-shattering thing yet. But I'm going to tell you what. When I read it to you, you're just going to sit there and you're going to say, this is unbelievable. This is remarkable. It had been if Jesus Christ would have appeared here tonight, physically, in manifestation, that's how big it's going to be. I'm telling you. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Look at all these things that we saw so far with regards to how perfect, how simple, and how free our salvation is. And believe you me, we could spend hundreds of verses and oodles of days going over these things in minute detail to show you the great accuracy of the words and how pure your salvation is and how permanent your salvation is and what Jesus Christ did and how he sealed you. It says in Ephesians, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Sealed. God seals somebody, nobody opens a seal. He seals you, you're sealed. That thing ain't getting open unless God opens it. You understand? You're sealed. These words that are exclusive, in the church epistles, only used for the Christian salvation, never used anywhere else, many of these words, to show the permanency of salvation. When we were enemies, God reconciled us back, and we were saved by the life of who? Jesus Christ. Through the foolishness of preaching, God chose to save those that what? Believed. And what was the name that was given under heaven that you got to get to God by? No other name, only one name. Who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Then in Ephesians, it said, for by grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. It's a gift of God. You're saved by grace through your faith, through your trust in God, your belief, your trust in God. And we saw in Titus, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his what? Mercy has he saved us. And then the great formula given in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, you're my Lord. Who's been Lord up to your life until you get to meet Jesus Christ? You have. Your wife has. The drug pusher has. Your boss has. Huh? How many people lured themselves to their job and to their boss? Right? Go here, go there, do this, do that. But now you're going to change Lord. You're going to make who Lord? You're going to make Jesus Lord. Jesus, confess with your mouth. Jesus is Lord. Jesus, you're my Lord. Say it. Say it. That's what it means. Then you believe in your heart that God hath what? Raised him from the dead. Then the word of God says, thou shalt be what? Saved. Shalt be absolute. Saved. That's what it says. That's what it means. And then who is this available to? For God would have what? All men to be saved, period, right? No, it's not what it says. After salvation, what's God's will for you then? Come to a knowledge of the what? To truth. Then you get yourself to a place where you can learn the integrity and the accuracy of God's word so you can come to a knowledge of the truth. Then we saw that faith comes by hearing. We're saved by faith according to Ephesians. And when we hear the word of God, we can then trust that word of God and we can receive the greatness of that. Now I'd like to close in 1 Peter. You know, if I just wanted to take the time to go through scripture after scripture with regards to how perfect our salvation is because of what Jesus did, how complete we are because of Jesus' sacrifice. We have a perfect salvation because we had a perfect Jesus Christ. We had a perfect Savior. Understand? We have a complete salvation because we had a complete what? Savior. We have a living salvation because we got what? A living Savior. Couldn't get no better. He did not fail at his job. He did not leave one I not dotted and one T not crossed. He completed everything from A to Z. He's done. Sat down at the right hand of God. You know why he sat? Because he was done. Salvation. Now he continues to work in this day and in this time for us and be on behalf of us and behalf of the ones that are still coming to God. Because the ones that are still coming to God in this day and in this time are coming through whose name? His name, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2. Do you believe it? Do you believe what the word teaches with regard to salvation? Do you receive it by faith? Do you receive it by trusting God that God is good to his word, that he will do what his word says he will do, that God is not a man that he should lie, that God will fulfill his promise? Do you believe that? You receive your salvation by that. You understand that, don't you? Is it anything you did? Do you have to work for it? What do? You receive it by what? Faith. Believe it. You trust God. You receive it by faith. And you know what? God is pleased. He is pleased to give you this gift, which was purchased by the cross at Calvary. Jesus is pleased to extend to you this gift that he purchased for you on the cross at Calvary. And all you got to do is, through the foolishness of preaching, God has chosen to save those that what? That's how you receive the gift. That's how you receive salvation. Because no man could receive it by himself. If anybody could receive it, why the life of Jesus Christ? Why make him go through it if there was another way? Why did God have to deny him in the garden when he prayed three times? He said, Father, if thy will, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. You know, God said, I can't do it, son. I wish I could do it. I wish there was another way. I don't want to see you go through this. I know it's going to hurt, son. I know you don't want to go through it. If there was another way, I'd give it to you, son. But there's no other way. You got to do this for me. You got to do it for them. You know what he said? I'll do it. Three times. Then you mean to tell me? You want to tell me there's another way to heaven? You want to insult God? You want to insult the life of Jesus? There's no other way. Just accept it by grace. Accept it by faith. And it's yours. It's free. It's done. You believe that? It's the truth. Believe it. You got salvation. Now are we to what? Sons of God. That's what it says in John. 1 Peter 2. Look at verse 24. Stay with me now. Who? His own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. Stop there and look at me. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto what? Jesus Christ did that for us. Jesus Christ did that for us. Is that amazing? Do you believe that? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Did you accept it by faith and all the other verses that went with it?
Yes.
Look at the rest of the verse. By whose stripes ye were healed. You will believe the first part of the verse, not the second part? There it is. You believe in your salvation? You just all hoot and holler and scream, well, I got it, yeah, yeah. You believe in your salvation?
Yes,
yes or no?
Yes.
You believe what the word says?
Yes.
What's the rest of the verse say? By whose stripes you what? Past tense. Past tense. You believe that? You believe that?
Yes.
Then you ought to be manifesting it. How are you going to manifest it? Same way you manifested your salvation. You accept it by faith. Nothing you got to do, nothing you got to squeeze for, nothing you got to be good enough for. Who, when we were what? Enemies. When we were what? Enemies. God did what? Reconciled us back. And we got to think now, we got to be this, we got to do that, we got to get our healing. It was already accomplished. It was already given. You all just got done telling me how much you believe in your salvation. You received your salvation. I read the first part of the verse. Do you believe it? Yeah, I believe it, preacher. Why don't you believe the second part? How'd you receive the first part of the verse? Faith. Just took it, right? What kind of condition were you in when you got born again? Not too good. Dead. Enemies of God. Bin Laden, right? Why don't you believe the second part? See if you can get your brain around this. If you can wrap your brain around this. This is how simple healing is. Because the same cross that paid for your salvation paid for your healing. Same gift that brought your salvation brings the healing. Same life that brought your salvation brought your healing. You believe the one. Why is it so hard to believe the other? When you believed the first time, did you see anything? Did you feel anything? Huh? But did you get it? Then you started to act like you got it, right? You didn't see it. Nobody came up to you and give you a ticket, says, here's your Holy Spirit. I understand about speaking in tongues. We'll get into that later. But nobody came up to you and said, put this tag around your neck and walk around. Born again, God's creature, God's creation, going to heaven. Did you have anything manifest it right at that exact time you got born again? No. But you did what? You accepted it by what? Faith. And then you know what you started to do? You started to walk out on it. And you said, God, I believe I got it. Even though right now I got no proof, no manifestation right now, but I got it. I'm born again. I'm born again. But you know, somebody, you're born again. What do you mean you're born again? What do you mean you're saying, I don't see anything? How do you know? I know I am. Because why? The Word of God, what? Yes. Said so. Amen. What Mary say? Amen. Be it unto me. That's all. That's all she needed. So what about healing? Bible says you got such and such, you want healing, purchase at the cross. Here's your healing. Well, I don't see it. I still got a symptom. Did you still have your symptom? Did you see anything when you got born again? No. You accepted that by faith, didn't you? But we get tricked out accepting our healing because I got to see something. I got to see. What's the Bible say? Mark 16. Signs follow them that what? Believe. Signs follow believers. It don't say signs first, then we believe. You understand? Don't say that. Who talked you out of the Word? Who talked you out of your healing? He said, look at your hand. You're not healed. Bible says I'm healed. Look at your hand. You're not healed. That's the devil whispering in your ear. Bible says what? I'm healed. Does the Bible say you're saved? Did it say that? You believe that? You accept it by faith? You won't let anybody steal that away from you? No. But you say, okay, devil, I believe you. Well, let's think this through logically, and let's be consistent in our illogic. You're not saved. Okay, devil, I believe you. I believe that Jesus Christ failed in his mission. I believe that Jesus Christ is not a complete Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ was a complete flop in salvation. I believe you, devil. You're not saved. Okay, I believe you, devil. But we let him talk us out of our healing. Listen, it's the same verse. You can't get me on Greek. You can't get me on context. You can't get me on nothing. It's the same verse. You want to believe the first half and you don't want to believe the second half? You want to receive the first half by faith, but you don't want to receive the second half by faith? You see how amazing this is? You see how magnificent this is? And we just like, we say, oh. People, it's been there all these years. All these years it's been there. Listen, if you're going to believe the first part, who him own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto what? Righteousness. I believe that, preacher. I accept it by faith, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm going to heaven. Oh, it doesn't say that. There's more of the verse. By whose stripes ye what? Past tense. Were healed. Take the whole package of salvation. Take the whole gift that Jesus Christ died for. You understand? Look. He bled. He got beat. He got mutilated. He got spit upon. He got embarrassed. He got hit. He got everything in the world. You understand? But he did all that to make all of this available to you. How dumb are we if we're only going to take this much? You all went up to Smorgasbord Saturday? Huh? Did you take a shrimp and sit down? I look at all you guys out there. And I didn't see one of you with a shrimp. You want to know something? I didn't see a one of you with a piece of corn. Not a one of you. I seen a lot of shrimp and a lot of meat and a lot of chicken and a lot of desserts on one plate. Why? Because it was all available. So who's going to walk in the smorgasbord to take a shrimp? That's what it is. I'm just going to take salvation. So we walk up to the table. It says salvation. Well, I just take salvation, a little bit of salvation, and I'm leaving. That's the way Christians are. See, that's why you got to get yourself to a place where you get saved, but then you what? Come to a full knowledge of the truth. So when you go in to the smorgasbord of God, you can have some salvation. You can have some healing. You can have nine manifestations that you can learn how to operate. You understand? You can have some miracles. You can have some signs. You can have some wonders. You can have some gift ministries. But if you don't know, you know what you're going to go out with? A shrimp. A shrimp. You go home and you read 1 Peter 2:24. And you got to convince yourself of this. If you're going to doubt the second part of the verse, then there's no reason on the face of this earth that you shouldn't doubt the first part of the verse. But let me challenge you tonight. If you believe the first part of the verse and all those other verses that I gave you to corroborate that, that we're saved by grace, if you believe that, then of necessity, you got to believe the second part of the verse. And you got to understand that you're going to receive the second part of the verse the same way you received the first part of the verse, by grace, by faith. It's that simple. I don't see it. I don't feel it. You didn't see it or feel it the first time. But you took it, and you start to walk in it. And then after a while, what happened? You start to see. You start to feel. You started to see the results, right? Yeah. And then later, God started to work with you. And depending where you were and who taught you, you start to manifest. Speaking in tongues, prophecy, interpretation, tongues, signs, miracles, wonders, all those things start to come to pass, right? Sure. But they didn't come to pass first. God expects you to take it by faith, and you did. And that's where it brought you to where you're at. Then you need to do the same with healing. Don't look at the symptoms. Don't look at the symptoms will disappear. I cannot tell you how many people tell me such and such, and I accept the word of God. I heard the word of God. I believe the word of God. And 2 or 3, 4 days later, or a week later, then I realize, oh, this is gone. It's not here anymore. I don't know what happened to it. Because they weren't looking at the symptom. They weren't looking here to say yes or no. It just disappeared. And then they go looking for it. Well, that's stupid. But that's they go looking for it. This used to hurt when I did this. What's you got healed. How'd you get healed? Well, you believe the word. That ain't the big thing I was going to show you tonight. Here's the big thing. How did you receive your salvation? You heard the word and you what? You trusted it. You believed it, right? It's the word. It's the same thing. That's the big thing. There's no secret art to this. Take God at his word. God says you're healed. It's available. It was accomplished at Calvary. You believe the first part, accept the second part. And don't only accept it, walk like it's already there. For God is good to his word. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks that it is gold. And as you have magnified your word above all your name, and that you will stand behind your word, Father, you have signed it, and Jesus Christ gave his life to back it up, that your word is pure, and that you will bring your word to pass today, the same way you've brought it to pass for generations and generations, for only one requirement, Father, for those that believe and accept it by faith, for the most part, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I say for the most part because if somebody's dead, they can't believe and accept it by faith. You just got to do it for them until they get up.